Okay, Hebrews 4:11 through the end of the chapter before I break this table. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, as I was going through this and prepping for this, I remember the last time we were in this, we had a discussion on the rest and everything, and I think it can be a twofold type rest. Yes, it's talking about the rest, and we talked about the eternal rest that might come, and that Pastor Wixon is in right now. But also, and I think John, you brought it up, but also similar to what you said, I think we also have a rest from working for our salvation, because. And what brought this up was I did listen to last week's sermon that Pastor Sean did. And God brought the sacrifice. God himself gives a sacrifice. You saw that in Genesis when Abraham said to Isaac that God himself will provide the lamb. And he himself brought salvation to us. We don't have to work for it. We don't work for it. We can't do enough work for it. But everything before salvation is work, trying to get that salvation for those who are concerned about it. And that is a rest from that. Once we have placed our faith in him, we have a rest from working for our salvation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it that way, but
And through that, and it's discussed, is we have the fear and faith there. And I don't like to go too much on alliteration, but those just happen to work.
In English,
yeah. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. And we'll have to go back on our mind some. What is that disobedience that the writer of Hebrews was talking? What is that same sort of disobedience?
The hardening of hearts was specifically talked about, but that's the cause. How it worked out symptomatically was rebellion and mm-hmm. idolatry and things like that.
Yeah.
Lack of faith.
There you go. Because that was spoken about before, because they didn't enter in the promised land because they lacked the faith. Mm-hmm. Even though they walked through the Red Sea.
Hard to figure.
Aren't we like that as humans? What have you done for me lately? Right. You know? The Lord has brought me through so much. And yet, I still have the fear sometimes of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Right. I don't have, you might not know this, but I'm getting at the latter end of my working years.
No.
And,
how fun is that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it is fun, but then I'll be just up front. It's my pay is going to get cut extremely. And it's like, oh, how am I going to do? But that, I have to go on faith. I have to work now for what the Lord wants. I need to be smart on that and do, and I am, but it's still, you have to have that faith in there.
Well, I think it, that last chapter, I have it highlighted, so in chapter 3, you know, where our writer quotes Psalm 95.
Yeah.
And he says, on the day of testing in the wilderness, do not harden your hearts.
Yeah.
It's in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. I don't know if that's solely referring to, you know, the wilderness or our own wilderness. I suppose you could expand that if you wanted to and say, you know, when I have trials, you know, don't harden your heart. Go the other direction.
Exactly.
Run away from what your flesh just tells you to do.
Right.
Which is, what have you done for me lately?
Yes. Yeah. And that whole doubt of, yeah, you saved me, you did great for me then, but I don't know if you're going to do that now. Yeah. As we are looking at that, we also see right after verse 11, it gets into, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So, are we finished from work after we believe, after salvation? And how does that work? Because, I mean, we're, the Word of God is living and active. So how is it active in our lives? And how are we
or
showing?
Should we be saying, how is He active in our lives?
There you go. Yes, because He is the Word.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is in us, guiding us. And with, especially if we're not disregarding or quenching the Spirit. So how, what does that look like? What does that look like that the Word is in us and is discerning between bone and marrow and knowing the intentions of our heart? What does that look like in life?
It's our sanctification by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. You should look different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
if that's the question, what do you look like?
Yeah.
Everything you do should look different.
And so
motivated differently.
If so, that's action. That's by our action. So, sort of answering the question, do we have work after salvation? Yes, we are in the rest, but we do have work. And that got me thinking, is work always bad?
No.
And I take us to Genesis.
Well, I mean, God said, tend the garden. And He gave a job to do. And it's considered the perfect paradise, and it included work. Must that be a bad thing?
Exactly.
Not only that, He had to name all the animals.
That
might not seem like, at face value, a lot of work, but think about it. Name all the animals.
Yeah.
So in a sense, Adam was like the first zoologist. He had to study all the animals and then give them an appropriate name.
Yeah.
That didn't just take like one night.
When Adam was doing that, I always pictured he was just chilling out, chewing on a piece of garden fruit. The animals just brought, because I think, doesn't it say that God brought the animals to him and He named him?
Yeah.
So...
Even still, it didn't just take one night to name all the animals. That would have taken
after a
long time.
I was like, all right, God, are we done?
First
I kind of
want to
go
learn
check out
Latin.
The other side of the garden.
Well, I was thinking the same thing.
The whole process does make you kind of laugh, doesn't it?
Well, and, I just got new puppies, and we went through three different names, name things as we were going through, and we finally ended up on the names. Did Adam, he had
just mind?
like, was the name Platypus, like, towards the end because he was just...
Running out of good
names.
Yeah.
That's super cute.
Also in Philippians 2:12. We'll go there.
It probably wasn't the exact word platypus.
Yeah.
I don't think he was naming them in English.
No.
The King's English.
Philippians 2:12.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, again, people get caught up with that of work out your...
Yeah, make it sound like you're having something to do with your salvation, but it's take your salvation and go to work.
Right.
That's the way I read it.
Yeah, and again, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers. So work out and make sure that your salvation is true. Is your salvation true? Unless you believed in vain.
There's an interesting parallel in that verse also, where not as in my presence only.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at in 4:12.
Back to Hebrews?
Oh, yeah, back to Hebrews 4:13, actually.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you a hint that 4:12 is a warning to the people about, don't think you're going to get away with being half in and half out of this discipleship business. You, God knows where you're at, and you're not fooling anybody, you know?
Yeah.
That's what that verse also says, you know? Because when I'm in Paul's presence... Oh yeah, but when Paul's gone,
my family. I'm sure you guys never did this.
No,
but like my dad, you know, if the pastor came around, he didn't curse and he put the beer away and everything like that. He was all good way. When he left, you know, he let fly on things and he brought out the beer. So, but God sees all that. And we'll finish up on 13. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. And the last question on that, when and how are we to give an account?
Well, it's like so many things in the Christian walk. It's twofold.
There you go.
Ultimately, be in the seat of Christ.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we're supposed to keep short accounts and make sure that we're where we need to be with the Lord. You know?
Exactly. And because with that, when we do see that we're at fault, we can go to 1 John 1:9.
Huh? That's right.
And that is keeping a short account with God. So that was quick. We'll finish out. We're not going to finish today. We'll finish out if you read about Jesus being the high priest. We'll go into that. We might even jump into 15 next week. Or no, chapter 5, excuse me.
Is there a 15?
I don't know. That's your research. Who would like to?